Hi, good morning, everyone. It's really an honor to be here. I'm a newbie to APHA, and so I feel really, you know, happy to be presenting. Not only this is the work of, as Debbie said, a learning collaborative, and so I'm going to be presenting on the communications and some of the really exciting social marketing strategies that emerged out of Start Strong. And I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. I am an associate partner at Finn Partners, which is a public relations firm in New York City. And I work in a group that focuses on social issues. And we've been doing work around domestic violence and teen dating violence for about 8 years. And I've been working with, you know, the Learning Collaborative of Start Strong since its inception. And so, you know, this really is a presentation about all of our work. I mean, this is the 11 communities, their teen leaders who came up with so many of these ideas. And so I hope that from this presentation, though, that you'll be able to, you know, learn some communication campaigns or, you know, and strategies that you can apply to your own campaigns or work. Oh, that's my little disclosure here. So as Debbie said, I'm going to be going a little bit further into this fourth component of Start Strong and giving you an overview of some of the things that we did and also highlight some of the results that we had over the past 4 years. But I would say from our perspective, from a public relations firm perspective, what was really exciting about Start Strong and this whole initiative was getting a chance to look at teen dating violence from a public health perspective. We hadn't done that before, and that was new for us. So it definitely was, you know, a learning opportunity. And also the way that Start Strong was modeled or developed or designed to really involve youth input. And that was so key in all of the things that we saw coming out of Start Strong, and also the role of social media. And then you'll see that we had two very different audiences. Of course, our primary audience was the tween teen age group. And then we also had those older teen influencers and adult audiences who were the media and social policymakers, educators, etc. And so you'll see that throughout the presentation that there a lot of these strategies overlapped. So here's kind of an overview of what we wanted to accomplish from the communication social marketing side. From communications and media relations, we really wanted to start to shift the conversation. And then from the bottom, you'll see this is what we were aiming for, the teens to start being able to distinguish between unhealthy and healthy behaviors, setting digital boundaries in terms of their relationships online, and also being empowered to make healthy choices. And all of this going around, again, as Debbie mentioned, it's changing those social norms of what's acceptable in a relationship and what's not. And just to kind of set the stage for you, if you think back 4 years, at least from our perspective, people weren't talking about healthy relationships. Maybe in the public health, you know, arena you were, but I mean, if you looked, opened a newspaper and looked at the coverage, if there was coverage even on this issue, it was about teen dating violence, it was about the victims, it was like, what did they miss? It was the warning signs, but they weren't talking about prevention, and they certainly weren't talking about middle school students and having those conversations early. So that's where we started, and it was a bit of an uphill battle, even for the sites themselves. We did communications on a local level as well as a national level, and so that's where we started off. So, and when you do communications, one of the first things is really to understand your audience. And again, Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and Blue Shield of California were very smart about this, having done many of these programs before. They commissioned research, focus groups and kind of discovery sessions with youth ages 11 to 18. And so these are some of the findings from that. And, you know, it was really important to share this. We shared this research also with the communities, and it helped to inform how they were going to approach this issue. And we really focused on, you know, their understanding, teen and tween understanding of healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships. And also we looked at their, you know, use of social media and online activities. So, and as the communications firm, we also had to do our back, our homework. And we did an analysis of a variety of communication campaigns. Different issues, you can see Rock the Vote, the Pickens Plan for Environment, Choose Respect, which is very similar to CDC's Teen Dating Violence, V-Day, which was violence against women, and also MAD, which is a drunk driving campaign. And what we did was we looked at all of these campaigns and picked out the critical communication strategies that were across the board in these campaigns and created some of a blueprint for the communities. And so, you know, it's from keep your message simple, keep focused, you know, have a face for your campaign or that spokesperson, that person that's going to speak out for the program, develop and utilize your partnerships. Another way to draw in other stakeholders, and research. We emphasize that a lot. I mean, in our work, this is what gets the media's attention as well. It really does. And then also stories in terms of a wider impact. When they do their grassroots, they use a lot of stories and theater and being creative, and then social media to engage folks. And really, you can, I mean, it's boundless with the internet. So I think, as you know, even this list can be an effective, can be applied to many different issues. We also worked with another one of our partners, Alloy Access, and as part of our learning collaborative, and developed also a communications guide for them for social media. And so they had a social marketing plan, and these are some of our recommendations. And you'll see it's from like creating, you know, the Facebook and Twitter, you know, to developing a specific microsite or website for the initiative or blog somewhere where people can go online. But one of the things that the sites really knew that they had to do was they had to engage youth online and offline. That was key. That was required. And so they also held activities and contests online that were also then linked back to, the contests offline that were linked back to activities online. And the other key thing was also the engagement of youth in the development of these campaigns, in the development, design, and implementation. So now I'm going to take you through Start Strong through the years, and you'll see how we work to engage this tween audience and also the older adult audiences. So in our first year, and this is just, you know, the program is just kicking off, we knew that we needed to, you know, get off with a big bang and start with the media. And so one of our very first events was the launch of Start Strong right here in San Francisco at their first annual meeting, and we were able to find some really interesting news research on sixth graders, on teen dating violence among sixth graders, and that helped us to, you know, generate the interest from the media. And we had the Start Strong teen leaders who were there and who were our spokespersons, and had a very successful launch. The event that I highlighted in red is more on the social marketing campaign side. So we were at the time working with Mariska Hargitay, her foundation, the Joyful Heart Foundation, and her husband, Peter Herman, who is also an actor, really creative theater guy. And we were, you know, talking about, you know, how are we going to start conversations about healthy relationships and make this really pop? Because healthy relationships, it's like everyone wants to talk about the unhealthy. They want to talk about what we don't want it, but we were like, how do we even, what is a healthy relationship? So we worked with Peter, who's, you know, came on and came up with this big idea. Our big idea was to have all of the sites do something in a public place, have some kind of around healthy relationships, and do it on the same day. So all 11 sites all around the country did this, and we presented to them, and they said, and we said, go with it, you come up with your activity, just do it in a public place, make sure it's around healthy relationships, and let's see where this goes. So these were our results. We had, it was, you know, 17 called it a record-breaking day, talking about healthy relationships, and the kids came up with amazing, I mean, from guerrilla performances in the middle of a bus station to a fashion show around healthy relationships and a talk show and, you know, spoken word and rallies. And they, many of them launched some of their campaigns and had conversations on Facebook or uploaded their videos to YouTube. And you can see some of the activities there. And we also drove people back to the Start Strong website to take a poll and fill in, you know, what advice would you give or what did you wish you had known about healthy relationships? And we got advice from like the older age, older adult to the teens. And this was some of the conversation that we generated in the media. And you can see that we were able to touch both outlets that reached the teen audiences, like 17, Lovers Respect blog, which is the teen dating violence hotline, helpline blog, and then also the local media outlets. And, you know, they were talking about healthy relationships, which was, you know, new for us. So by year two, we were starting to, you know, the sites were really getting the hang of this now. They're teen leaders, and it was so important. The teen leaders had to be trained. Now they were beginning to start to implement and come up with ideas for their campaigns. And these are, and some of the things I highlighted in red are the pieces that really started to hit home, which was tapping into the teen culture or pop culture. And, you know, they came up with this sound nutritional label to rate music, similar to the rated R. They had the movie campaign rating tools. They were developing a video game around healthy relationships where the kids actually developed the video game. They learned to develop the video game, but around the content around teen dating violence, developing a manga comic book. So they really were going across the gamut and really reaching out to teens who are interested in a variety of different issues, but ways to draw them in. And they also use, and this was, you know, if we think of the perfect storm, the Chris Brown, Rihanna, kind of using current events and what they're talking about and inserting ourselves there to start talking about what was, you know, what was really healthy in that, or what was unacceptable, or would you, you know, would you walk away, or would you, kind of thing. And this is one of the things that really started to come out in within the sites. And these are just some highlights of some of the campaigns that they came up with. You see Third Choice there as well. And I just want to point out, too, That's Not Cool, which was a great campaign that was actually developed by Futures Without Violence and the Ad Council, targeting older teens. They used a really, what was great about this campaign was the comedy element. They brought in like a little bit of fun into it. And a lot of the sites were able to use those resources, adopt it, and bring it in and use that for their outreach to their older teens, which was really great. And then on the media side, we definitely saw that, you know what, the sites actually, their innovations were getting the attention of the media. So it didn't have to be about an incident where a teen, you know, unfortunately goes through a really rough time and there's abuse or something. They were writing about it because of what the sites were doing and the innovative programs they were doing. So you saw them, you know, the movie rating. They did a skit at the Indie Fringe Festival. You know, they were talking about how to do Facebook and all of that, and also the relationship songs. And I just wanted to point out, in terms of, you know, the nutritional label, this is a great example of how the sites were able to incorporate all the things we asked them. We asked them to use messages that the kids would be able to understand, start talking about healthy versus unhealthy, get the teen input. And it was very clear, like the teens at Start Strong Boston were all about this because they knew what would reach their peers. They knew what was, you know, where they were. And then also, we got incredible media traction from this one tool. It just went viral. I mean, you name it, New York Times, AP, Reuters, everything. Boston Globe, they got tons of local press as well, but it also went national. And then in year three, I would say, you know, we had a three-pronged strategy, and I'll take a step back because also from the foundation perspective, we knew that we wanted to talk about teen dating violence from a public health standpoint. And so we did do some programs here about educating journalists, and we did a program at Columbia School of Journalism at their DART Center for Trauma and Violence on teen dating, on intimate partner violence as a whole, but there was a focus on teen dating violence and seeing this as a public health issue. And then, you know, again, we were starting to really tap into what was working with the sites, and the breakup summit was definitely one of those examples. And so by the second year, this was their second breakup summit, we did it national and we did it online. So the sites were getting a little bit bolder, they were doing things online, and people joined in through web and all of that. We also did an event to engage bloggers, parent bloggers specifically. And these are some of the results. You can see, like, in terms of the pop culture, they were really taking on, they did another movie campaign on the Hunger Games. And in terms of what was resonating, you can see again the Breakup Summit, ABC, New York Magazine, The Early Show, and MTV. And then the parents also started to take notice of what we were doing. And so we had some coverage there, and it was what was key when you do these kind of communications is giving them resources. They had the Start Strong Parents website to go to. They had the toolkits from Start Strong Idaho in terms of the handbook, and there were the resources too from our parent engagement campaign. And then by, you know, year four, it was continuing the momentum, and we did launch or release some of the baseline data in March that got a lot of press. And the teens just held another Breakup Summit 2.0, and they added to that, and they're getting bolder again, they added a Twitter chat. And you can see some of the coverage there. And so, you know, again, this is a lot of their, this is where we are now. Think about 4 years ago, this was very new to a lot of the sites. Doing things online, using social media was very new, and they've been keeping it strong. I mean, you've got Hookup Respect, they have like over 1,000. The Start Strong Wichita has 4,000 friends. Start Strong Atlanta is tweeting every single day. And we also have Start Strong, the national program page as well. And this is just a highlight. So this is one of the sites that really adopted the That's Not Cool. And they have an opportunity where people can put in their stories. And this is from a 13-year-old. I don't know if you can read this. It says, my friend starts lies about me that I pushed a girl, and now my BFF called me everything in the book on Facebook. I'm losing my friend. And then they put their comments, and then it rates it. So these are really, this is another one from My, Yours, Ours. This is Start Strong Bridgeport. They really use movies. And, you know, if we think, again, 4 years ago, where was the media? New York Times just didn't, well, not just, it was June, but did an article on, and this was front page of the Metro section, on prevention in middle school and talking about healthy relationships. So you can see, I feel like we're pushing the needle moving in a little bit there. And this was some of the coverage you can see from all of the sites over the 4 years, from national to local, and it was, you know, has been over 600 articles or 600 media. And then in terms of, and again, I can't speak necessarily just for myself, but this is really coming from the sites and also what we heard from them and through the MPO and so forth, is, you know, for social marketing, it's very new for these communities, but, and one of the things that they wish they knew was, you know, in terms of the time commitment, youth-informed versus youth-driven, making sure that the teens have a framework and understanding of their engagement, guidelines. There were new entry points in which to do this. Incentives were also key. Some people said it was, you know, internships to a hug, and having your team spokesperson. Because if you're going to say this is teen-led or teen-driven, the media is going to want to say, I want to talk to a team then. And so that was key. This is just a directory. I hope you can get this online because I didn't print out any copies, but you can see all of their pages. And thank you very much.